This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. From the 903, my fantasy baseball team is Go Get Rangers in honor of Kevin. From the another 214, oh, this is concerning. I know where Kevin lives. Can I leave a note on his door saying 162-0? Alec, there's two things that let me know that our show had really picked up traction. One, before I knew Jess, I went on a date with a girl. We were at this restaurant, and this guy walked by and goes, "Better." And that lady thought I was the biggest deal in the world. And then when we got a UPS package at the house one day, and somebody wrote KNC rules on it, and I was like, oh, man, we've really made it in this world.
That's crazy.
Heck yes, you have.
All right, so let's talk some NFL draft here. The players that could be there at pick number 12 probably won't be there at pick 12, and perhaps who Wolchuk likes best at pick number 12. And from the 903, not to put too much pressure on you, buddy.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
Me and Zach had already had this talk. I swear to God, if he wants us to take an offensive lineman at 12, don't do it.
Well, you're in luck.
Oh, we'll see.
We're drafting a lineman, baby.
How it plays out. All right. Are there a couple of players that you feel like have already been discussed? I know Ashton Jeanty is probably the most logical. Mm-hmm. That you're like, hey, that would be great. They're not going to be there at 12. Or you don't think that they'll be there.
I don't think Jeanty's going to be there at 12. I would love for him to be, but I don't think that that is likely an option. I think that the Raiders and the Bears are two teams that are most likely to take him ahead of you.
Okay, Raiders and the Bears. Man, the Bears would be interesting too, because since they like completely overhauled their mm-hmm. offensive line, I would be really fascinated to see that particular pairing.
Which is also why I think they're more likely to take him if he's there now. Previously, I thought they'd go offensive line.
Okay.
But now they've gone ahead and added a center. They've added two guards. Maybe they could take one of the tackles if they want. Maybe Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas. Maybe they like Will Campbell if he's there from LSU. But I think most likely if Jeanty goes past the Raiders, he's the pick for the Bears.
All right. What about, just going to ask it, selfish question, okay. Shamar Stewart.
Okay. What do you think about Shamar Stewart, having watched him maybe every week at Texas A&M? Yeah. Because he is one of the more polarizing prospects in this class.
And let me guess. And the idea is going to be, where's the production?
Right.
Because he's got all of the tools.
Yes. Like, I didn't quite see it. And I wasn't surprised that he tested extremely well, because obviously he's a freak athlete, but he scares me to death.
All right. Let me ask you a question that will help me down this path. How do you feel about pressures versus sacks?
I think that pressures are also very effective, okay. And he has a ton of pressures.
Exactly. He led the team in pressures, and I think if you schemed him up just a little bit differently because of the base traits that he has in terms of his athleticism mm-hmm. and explosion, you could see something. But I get it. I agree. That is, I don't know if you want to say a project pick, but you have to make a little bit of a leap of faith. And at pick number 12, maybe that is not what people want to do.
Yeah, and you got to have a plan for him, like you said. Like, are you going to play him at defensive end? To me, I saw a guy that can maybe even kick inside.
I think he can go inside.
And play some defensive tackle for you. So I get it. Like, that is an upside pick of a player that could end up getting you 10 to 15 sacks a year. But he could also be Taco Charlton.
Yes. I hope not, but I can't say for certain because of the productivity in college. Will Johnson. I know we're kind of bouncing all over to different positions.
No, this is good. Just keep throwing them at me here. Will Johnson is a guy that I would pass on personally. Okay. Now, I think he's in play for the Cowboys at 12.
Will you tell me why you would pass?
I don't, and in my notes I put in, is he special? I'm not sure, but he's super steady. But what is his elite trait? He's well-rounded. I think he's a good player, but I don't know about having elite type upside.
Okay.
And he was one of the first players that I watched when I started doing my draft study because he was projected to be a top five possible player. Now, he was banged up last year. So if you go back and watch the Michigan National Championship season, I think that it's better than what you just saw this year. He's a big press man corner. His size is used to his advantage. He can move into the slot some. He's good in zone. Chases a play down against Texas where he came from all the way on the opposite side of the field. And I love that. That's hustle and effort right there. But I do think the long speed is a question mark in double moves. When I watched him against Roma Dunze in the championship game, I don't know if he's a guy who flips the hips super succinctly and is able to turn and run. So I wanted to get a 40 time on Will Johnson. I like him. There's just other corners I like more. Like, I don't get the knocks on Jahdae Barron. I don't believe that Jahdae Barron is in play for the Cowboys at 12. I think they would take Will Johnson over him, but I have Jahdae Barron as a better corner than I do Will Johnson out of Michigan.
Okay, I was at least curious about one more player if he will be there. Mikel Williams at 12, because this is somebody that we talked about. They had a really explosive 10. I know people clock the 40, but sometimes you're like, oh, do you need to know that for that particular position? So what do you think about Mikel Williams?
So Mikel Williams, let me just say this. Out of the edges, Mike Green's my guy for Marshall. Okay. I'm taking Mike Green. He started his career at Virginia before he had to move over to Marshall, led college football in sacks with 17, set a Sun Belt Conference record. He had 22.5 tackles for loss, registered a tackle for loss in 12 of 13 games. He is a freak when it comes to athleticism. To me, he's a quarterback killer. And I see it outside of Abdul Carter. I think he's the best pass rusher in this class. The first step quickness is elite. When it comes to Mikel Williams, he doesn't have that type of pass rush ability. But what he does have is he is an excellent run defender. He is essentially swapping out DeMarcus Lawrence. I think it would be a great way to describe it. But did you not just draft that in Marshawn Nealand last
year? Fair. I get you on that. Do you think Green is, I know you said what you like, do you think Green is legitimately in play at pick 12?
For the Cowboys, I can't say that he's not. I think they would like Mikel Williams over Green. I think that they might be looking, they might look at Green and say, does he have a weakness when it comes to stopping the run? I don't think he does. But if I had to, just from talking to some people, I think if I had to predict who the Cowboys' first and second round picks are right now, Mikel Williams, the edge out of Georgia at 12, and then Azure Thomas, the cornerback out of Florida State, I think are two names that should be seriously considered for Dallas.
Now, what has concerned some folks is Mel Kiper mock draft. I don't know how much stock you put in Kiper in particular, but
who the hell's Mel Kiper?
That's one of my favorite clips ever. This is the second straight mock with Amarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina, going to the Dallas Cowboys.
I'd be stunned. I don't think that there is.
And kind of upset?
I'd be a little bummed. I would be. And I like Hampton. I think he's a really good player, and I really want them to go ahead and draft a running back by the end of the third round. Like, I think they need to select a guy that's going to be their RB1, and Hampton clearly would be. And I've talked about this on G-Bag and on the Draft Show and the Love of the Star podcast, which there should be a new episode out today that Eric and Brian were doing. So that'll be posted. Look for that. But to me, I just don't think with how deep this running back group is, there's not a running back that I can really go ahead and say, hey, draft him in the first round outside of Ashton Jeanthey. This thing stretches to where I just can't advocate for Hampton. And there's going to be better players that I think on my board than Hampton there either. That'd be a little bit of a reach.
I think that answers my question then. And I know the art of trading down always depends on having to have somebody who wants to make the deal with you. But making a trade down where you pick up a third round pick and go after Hampton in the maybe 19 or 20 range, that's going to be a non-starter for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who else do you like at 12?
Okay, so Jalen Walker, and we got some texts about him from the 214
yes.
out of Georgia. Jalen Walker could be kind of like two birds, one stone for you. Now, I like him more as an edge than I do as an off-ball linebacker. I think he is at his best when he's going and getting after the quarterback, but he does do some things off-ball when it comes to blitzes. He can rush right up the middle of the field. He's got some good quarterback pursuit. The lateral quickness is really what kind of bothers me when it comes to Jalen Walker. But I'd be in on him. Like, I would take Jalen Walker out of Georgia.
Dane loves him, too, right?
Yeah, he is. Big fan. I would take him over Mykel Williams, personally.
Okay.
I'd also probably take Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama.
Okay.
Over Mykel Williams. And the reason here is this dude is like, you make him in a create a lab at linebacker. That's what he is. And there are some people that think he could also give you some edge like ability. And he played that at Alabama. They played him a little bit off the edge. He can blitz. He is a field general type linebacker, burst, acceleration. Maybe he can refine his angles when it comes to shedding blocks a little bit more, but he is a talented three down linebacker that is an athletic freak that plays with really good awareness, specifically in zone coverage, had a big interception against Georgia. So I think I could advocate for Jahad Campbell, maybe more than most when it comes to being an option there at 12 for the Cowboys.
Now, you had mentioned, I can't remember if it was in the tease or off air, the potential for maybe tight end. Are you going to try to sell me Warren and or Loveland in this first round? Is that what you're doing?
Warren's the guy. I'm not a Colston Loveland dude. I don't know. I think he's one of the more overrated prospects in this draft.
Huh.
Now, I say that, and he's probably going to end up being Brock Bowers. That's exactly what will end up happening. But I don't really see the wow. I think he's more of a second-round player, personally. And I'd probably take Mason Taylor, the tight end of LSU, ahead of Colston Loveland. Yeah, okay. I think Mason Taylor, that his dad's Jason Taylor. His uncle is Zach Thomas. So he's got the football lineage there. And if when LSU needed a play, they looked at Mason Taylor. You're talking third and nine. He goes and gets you 11. Like, this dude is a stud. But Tyler Warren is special. He holds Penn State tight end records for receptions. Only Big Ten tight end with 4+ rushing touchdowns in his career. Comes from an athletic family. He is the definition of a football player. He is one of my favorite players in this entire draft. He lines up all over the place. He's taken snaps at wide receiver, of course, tight end, halfback, offensive line. He's played wildcat quarterback, moves all over the formation, and he can inline block. So is he the most elusive guy? No. But he is a downhill, run through a mofo's face type of guy. And what I like about him is, what's Dak Prescott's best throw? The seam?
Yeah.
Right over the middle?
Yeah.
Okay, let me line up. You want to go 12 personnel. You want to commit to running the football?
Okay.
Let's have Jake Ferguson. Let's have Tyler Warren on the field at the same time. And how am I helping Dak Prescott to his strengths? Having two good receiving tight end threats that are big, that can run, that can also, well, Fergie needs to block a little bit more consistently than what he did last year. But guys that I do believe can block, Tyler Warren, if he's there at 12, I think you could say can impact your offense just as much as a Matthew Golden from Texas,
okay,
if that's what you wanted to do.
Actually, that is exactly the comparison that I wanted to make, because personally, I think 12 is too high for Golden. Not saying that he's not a quality player or anything like that. All right. Both of them are there for you. And the Cowboys are like, hey, we're going offense here for whatever reason. That just is the decision that gets made. And these two are the top two on their board. Who do you want between those two and why?
I have Warren graded higher than I do Golden.
Okay.
And it's for everything that I just stated. I think this dude.
Okay. And then the appeal of Golden then.
So I like Golden. Personally, I would take a Mecca Igbuka out of Ohio State before I would take Golden. Those are my guys. 1, 2, 3. Like, I've got Travis Hunter as my number two wide receiver. Tet McMillan out of Arizona is my dream pick at 12. I want Tet McMillan if I can't have Jenty. Tet McMillan out of Arizona is the guy that I want. I don't know that he's going to be there after running a pretty good 40 time. But then I would have Egbuka, who I think gets knocked for some athletic traits, but when you watch him play, they throw him the football for screens, and he can still go 60 yards to the house. Like, he gives you yak. And when you talk about wanting to help your offense run the ball better, Emeka Egbuka blocks his ass off. Like, he is a constant professional. He is a pro. I have no doubt Egbuka is going to translate to the NFL and be a good receiver. Will he ever be a top 5, top 10 guy? Maybe not. But I think he is going to be one of the better wide receiver twos and a perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb. But Golden, I like the route running. He creates natural separation with the way he plays. He's got good hands. You could see in big moments he stepped up and made plays for Texas, especially in that Peach Bowl there. So I like Golden's game. I just don't have him quite as high as Egbuka. I think that I don't think Igbuka's busting.
And you mentioned McMillan out of Arizona.
Pause.
As being your dude at 12.
Yes. McMillan is Mike Evans. And people don't want to go quite there. I've heard Drake London. I think that he's got Mike Evans type ability. The speed, he plays faster on tape. I didn't really care what he ran. The wingspan, 50-50 balls are not 50-50 balls for him. They're like 80-20, 70-30. Balls in the air. Tet McMillan is going up and getting it. Works the middle of the field really well. I think he's a good route runner, and he's an excellent human being. And when you hear Brian Schottenheimer talk about culture, Tet McMillan is the right kind of guy. We used to talk about the Garrett kind of dudes, that the right kind of guys. Tet McMillan is a guy that's going to come in high class, character individual, but also is just a baller on the football field.
Can you give me and the people one more name, whether it's somebody you love, somebody you wish would be there, or somebody that might be in play for the Cowboys at 12 that we should know about?
I'd absolutely love Abdul Carter. There's no way he's
for
going
sure
to be there.
Yes.
But I'll say this. Out of the defensive tackles, I like Derek Harmon from Oregon a lot. If they were to do that, I think Walter Nolan is the guy that's in play for the Cowboys. I think they like him quite a bit. Texas A&M transfer, went to Ole Miss. But Derek Harmon is a transfer from Michigan State. I think he's a true one tech that has the ability to get upfield and rush the passer. Can also play a little five tech on the defensive end, which would be more of a 3-4 scheme if you're not familiar with that. But he's difficult to move off the football. You got to get him sideways. Otherwise, he's going to hold his ground. He needs to just finish a little bit better, but he has the potential to wreck so many plays. He just gets a little bit high or just a little bit out of position, but I love him. I mean, is he an almost guy when you watch him on tape?
Yeah.
Like, he's there, he's disrupting the play, but then he needs like his defense to rally around and finish for him. But the point is, he's getting into the backfield and wreaking havoc. I think his best football's ahead of him.
All right, there you go. Excellent first round draft breakdown right there from Mr. Wolchuk.